but only for a couple minutes, and then it switches.
Yeah, then it's all you. All right, we're going to call to order the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting, and we'll take a roll call vote.
All right.
Not a vote, but a roll call.
That's good. Member Akita?
Here.
Member Riley?
Here.
Member Lowe?
Here.
Member Tuggle?
Here.
Member Guthrie?
Here.
Big voice.
Member Gibson?
Here.
And Member Hageman?
All right, next is public comment. Anyone would like to make step forward, public comment? Seeing none, we're moving on. David, is everything else on the agenda here yours?
So I can go ahead and move forward with the officer rotations. So today the officer rotations are going to move from the chair is going to go from ag member to the member at large, and the vice chair is rotating from member at large to city of Oro Grande. And then I believe one of you guys just needs to make a motion and approve it to make that change.
I motion we approve the change of chair.
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Approved unanimously. Okay, moving on to the minutes that are attached. Anyone see any changes or adjustments to those that need to be made?
I move to approve minutes.
Second.
I have a first and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, that's also approved unanimously. Now we move to you, David. Operations report.
All right, I'll start with the current numbers for today. All right, so the water plant's at 5.4 MGD. State water is offline. Downstream release is currently at 5.1 MGD or 7.9 CFS. The elevation is 515.70 feet. Our capacity is at 87.7%. That's a storage volume of 43,371.7 acre feet. And rainfall to date, as of, I believe we start in July, is 0 inches. Anybody need a repeat on the numbers? All right. Moving on to the storage projection. The only thing that I'll bring up with the storage projection, everything looks like it's tracking fine as projected. We got questions at the TAC meeting as to whether or not this was the preliminary injunction flow releases, and it is. So this, the both the green line and the yellow line are projecting based on the 7.9 CFS. We did get asked to put some additional lines on this graph as well, which would be what we would be normally doing under the interim downstream release schedule, so we could see the difference between the preliminary injunction and the original IDRIS. So we do plan on making that change. We'll probably make it this next month for the TAC, but it'll be the next, you'll see it at the next AC meeting.
Quickly, Dave.
Yep.
So I'm looking at end of November 26, we're projecting, if no rain, under 60% basically of capacity. Do you happen to know offhand what the difference would be under normal release conditions?
You know, not right off the top of my head. Okay. I know that the preliminary injunction is using about 5,700 acre feet of downstream release in a year. So I think we could somewhat make a determination on that between what we would normally do. Normally we're targeting between 3,800 and 4,200 acre feet. So it'd be an additional 1,500 acre feet that we could potentially have in the reservoir. So. Let's see, projected reservoirs. Okay, I'll just jump into June's monthly operations report. Water usage is tracking pretty normal. I don't see anything out of the ordinary. If you do go back in time and look at some of the previous ones, we have made some changes. If you do want the updated ones, let me know. As we work through your guys' contract changes and some of the issues with this operations chart, we found that we're doing some things for the first time, such as the district-initiated exchanges. So we had the plant off in February. We did do a district-initiated exchange and delivered state water at that time. So you'll see on the state water project water box on the far right, January to present, you can see in both those tables that there's a DIE usage as well as an AIE usage. So we did use district-initiated exchange water back in February. So we had some issues with the chart back then and how it was adding all the totals up. So things seem to be corrected at this time. So if you need any of the previous reports, let me know. But the ones attached in here for May and June are both correct. All right, I'll jump into the project report if you guys don't have any questions on the previous documents. All right, so the most recent project that we have going right now is the Steelhead Passage Feasibility Assessment. That was a request from National Marine Fisheries to go ahead and analyze what volitional passage as well as any assisted passage there could be over Lopez Dam. And so we did award that back in April to McMillan Engineering. I don't know if it's McMillan Engineering. They're doing the work on this. They have begun the assessment. We did meet with NIMS, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and CDFW about the potential alternatives that we would be considering for this assessment. We did not get any comment from them. So we do have a follow-up meeting here on the 22nd with all the agencies, and we'll put forward, I think five or six alternatives that they will be moving forward with to assess for the Steelhead Passage feasibility. Membrane module replacement, we ended up consolidating all the CIP budget. That was a request from the TAC and I believe this group as well. So we took all the CIP budget and funded the membrane module racks for this year. So the two racks are on order and we do have a scheduled installation date for December 9th. That will finish off the full replacement of the membrane racks at the water treatment plant. We do have a sixth rack that we'll need replacing. However, that wasn't put online until 16 or 17, so probably not till 2027 or 2028 that we'll look to replace that one. The spillway assessment investigation, we are waiting for an alternatives analysis from GEI. We did do all the destructive and non-destructive testing up at the spillway, and they compiled a nice little report for that showing what their findings were, and now they're just looking at what the alternatives would be to make some repairs up there. Once we do have that document, we'll be submitting it to DSOD for their review as well. The geotechnical testing that we did down at the terminal reservoir, we were waiting for DSOD to hire a new geotechnical engineering staff member. They did hire that person. I actually have a meeting with that person later today to discuss the report that they've reviewed that GEI prepared. So I'll probably have more information for that one at the next meeting after we have this meeting today. The cathodic protection and repair project. As you guys might remember, we did replace the anode ground beds and a bunch of the test stations already. The only thing we're kind of waiting for now is where the state water line and the Lopez line cross. The state requested that we put a transient monitoring test station there, and we're just working through getting permits with DWR to do that work. So once we get those permits, we'll move forward with that project. The fire flow tank replacement, that is currently on hold until we have future funds for it. And then the most recent project that we completed was we added a flow sensor at the base of Lopez Dam so that we could actually measure flows more accurately in the event that we had to do pulse releases as part of the preliminary injunction. Any questions on the projects to date?
I have just one, and that would be, the spillway assessment and investigation. The remainder of project, minimum 300,000, is that just for the geotechnical assessment?
Yes, the project had $500,000 in it, and that was in GEI's contract to do the assessment and the alternatives. And then if there is money left over, whatever alternative we select, we could use some of that for design purposes as well. But that is a funded project, so that's not new money. That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, but only for like design and assessment. So.
Yeah, I was just thinking with all the testing done and data in, and we're just coming up with alternatives, and we're only 40% through the budget.
That's, yeah.
There should be some left over, I would hope.
Yep.
I have a question.
Sure.
On the spillway assessment, is there any relationship on that to the Steelhead Passage?
There is not. Those were two separate projects. The spillway assessment came about after the Orville incident, and DSOD mandated that we do, that anybody with an earthen dam and a concrete spillway do an investigation on their spillways. So that was at DSOD's direction.
Okay.
Yep.
So it says Steelhead Passage feasibility assessment. What is exactly does that mean? I mean, could you find out it's not feasible?
You could, yes. Yep.
And if it's, whose determination is that, if it's feasible or not?
So there's a matrix that McMillan applies to this. It's based on flow, constructability, cost, and whether or not, and I believe there's even a like how beneficial it is to the species as well, but they add a full matrix of how they assess what alternatives would be I guess reasonable or not, and whether it's doable or not. So
and was this all brought about by the lawsuit?
This was not. This was actually just part of the HCP process, and NMFS, National Marine Fisheries, requested that we do this assessment.
And I saw some of the, you know, I think at the TAC they showed some of the different projects. And they're all with water flowing down the spillway. What about the times when there's no water? I mean, that's very small, minute amount of time that we actually have flow coming over. Would we pump water over the spillway?
I would believe with some of the projects that could potentially be proposed that yes, you would have to pump water up and over.
Yeah. Out of the dam, up over.
Yeah, and because of the size of the dam and the fluctuations of reservoir level that we have, you actually would need it on both sides of the reservoir. So, you know, once the fish go up the creek and then come back to the backside of the dam, you got to get them back over the dam and down the face of the dam. So if there was a fishway, vertical slot fishway or something like that, you would not only need it on the front, you would also need it on the back.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone have any questions about any other project updates?
Yeah, just can you clarify, so this study would have no effect on the lawsuit, the Steelhead?
The plaintiffs are very interested in this study, but it wasn't brought about because of the injunction or the lawsuit. It's part of the HCP process and what NMFS wanted to see. So,
okay.
Could it have some bearing on it? Potentially.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I have a quick question. So when, we approved the improvements for the Steelhead a year or so ago, whenever it was,
oh, yeah.
That wasn't considered, or was it in conjunction with that improvement? I'm just kind of curious as to, we're doing an assessment now, but we voted to make improvements a year ago.
Correct. So the AG gauge project, I think is what you're referring to, mm-hmm. when we when you guys helped fund redoing the weir and allowing it more passable. I don't know if I can say at the moment if we will get credit for it towards the HCP or not, or if it will be included as part of the baseline of what we're working with already. The HCP process is an interesting process. And some things that you do before you actually have your permit in place can be considered the baseline and not technically part of the project itself. We will try to get credit for that project if we can. It has been identified in multiple documents as a barrier, and So it does nothing but good things for us to show that there is a barrier that has been removed on the creek. So
what is the timeline with the lawsuit?
Sorry, I try to think through the things I can say and what I can't say. I know that we have an appeal that's being heard on August 12th. And then the other deadline that we're really marching forward with is the HCP application deadline, which is October 1st. So, and then depending on what happens with the appeal, I don't know what the dates are after that. I thought I heard something about a potential trial date in November, if depending on how the appeal goes, but I don't know those dates for certain.
Thank you.
Once the HCP is submitted, do we have an idea of review turnaround time?
Not at this time. I know, you know, NIMS and some of the other regulators have had a lot of layoffs. The new administration has made a lot of changes within those organizations. And so at this time, we don't know if that's going to be, you know, if it's going to slow things down or speed things up. We just don't know. So it can be a long process once the application's in, but it just time will tell. So, yeah, sorry, I can't answer that, though.
I had one other question or comment. Where does the, you know, we've talked mostly about water here, but where does Lopez Campground come into Zone 3 Advisory Committee? Where do we sit on that? Are we even supposed to know anything about the campground?
You know, that's funny you say that. I know we were, I think Parks was going to start coming to these meetings and give you guys updates on what's going on at the parks. And that was something that was done in the past. Did Parks come to the last one? They did, right? So we'll reach out to them again and make sure it's on their calendar to come to this and, you know, and speak to you guys about what's going on at the park.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not in favor of people wasting their time if there's really nothing to report or anything. Mm-hmm. Maybe something written would be nice to know. I'm curious, since I'm a local, we're all locals, how is the campground full? Is it, what's happening there?
Sure.
You know, I have no clue. Kind of interesting to you guys?
Yeah, at the very least, we'll try to get a staff report for you guys then. And then if there's something to talk about, then we can have a staff member come.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Are there any action items, David?
No action items today.
Okay. So are we jumping down now to future agenda items?
Yep.
Okay. Could set a record here.
Right. Yeah.
Anybody have any comments or future agenda items they'd like to add?
Well, I think we just spoke to one that maybe until it's resolved should be maybe a standing agenda item, which is disposition of the injunction and appeal,
Okay. All
of that. And then if there's been any discussion or thought of if the injunction's continued releases are to continue into the future and our safe field is impacted, discussion of more thought of regional solutions, like maybe re-engaging with Central Coast Water Authority. If those conversations have started or thoughts, then maybe we could talk about that at the next meeting.
Okay.
Is it important for us to know we always talk about Lopez. Is it important for us to know any other reservoir levels?
You know, during times of drought, I would say yes, because that can dictate whether or not the state is going to declare our county under a drought emergency. We found that in the last drought that Newsom didn't declare our county till really, really late, and it was because the other reservoirs were relatively full, but Lopez was really, really low. So right now I'd say no, with the reservoir sitting as full as it is, but I think during drought conditions it might be good to know what we're sitting at with the other ones.
Yeah. Okay. Any other future agenda items you guys look like on the agendas?
I would just like to say I think it's a good idea when we're talking about the relationship with the park, but I guess maybe moreover it would be maybe having an understanding of Zone 3 is a water conservation district, so it's focused, but the benefits and the, you know, the larger, I guess, phenomenon of Lopez Lake and all of that. So maybe having an understanding of those relationships would be good, in addition to having information about how well the recreation area is going. But is that, it's good information, but it's part of a bigger picture, and just to kind of clarify what the scope of this body is in relation to that.
I know I've asked this probably four or five times over the last 15 years, and it's every time I see new faces that there's a lot of jargon that we don't, as lay people, don't understand. And if we had a glossary of what all the acronyms mean,
sure,
I think that would be helpful. I mean, I don't know. Do you guys agree that it's confusing, and it would be a lot easier if we had something that we could just, you know, flip back to and say, oh yeah, I remember that means, you know, because hey, we're talking about water quality, we're talking about nymphs, you know, I mean, you start adding all of these things up and everybody's got their own jargon that, and really it's Greek to a lot of us. So if there is something that somebody could put together, I know you guys are all busy, whose responsibility would that be, I don't know, but it would sure help all of us out.
All right.
Cheat sheet, yeah.
Sounds like a great intern project.
Yeah.
But we do have a, for the projections report, we did supply a memo for how that's developed and all the terminology in that report. Mm-hmm. So I can provide that to the group as well. Yeah. At the next one.
Yeah.
So at least for the projected reservoir levels one, it was a great memo that tells how we do it and what data we look at. And so.
But I kind of agree, a glossary. I mean, I've had to kind of learn all this, you know, the hard way, the layman's way. So, I mean, if a glossary could be attached for a quick reference, that I think that would be perfect, actually.
Sure, no problem.
All right, moving on to committee member comments. Are there any other comments from the group?
I have one, which is to thank Vard and Brian for chairing the meeting for the last year. I wish you could do it for the upcoming year.
I would speak for Brian, and he would probably say no thank you. All right, hearing no other comments, I move for adjournment. All right, thank you guys.
Thanks,
have a good summer.
Thank you, everybody.